This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Cotette. St. Luke's Mountain States Tumor Institute, or MISTI, has been offering cancer care here in Idaho for 50 years. And earlier this week, the organization marked that milestone by making a pretty significant change. MISTI is now the St. Luke's Cancer Institute. Joining us live in studio to talk more about this are Dr. Dan Zuckerman, Medical Director at St. Luke's Cancer Institute, and Dr. Norman Zuckerman, Director of the Integrative Medicine Program at St. Luke's Cancer Institute. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Gemma.
And I should note that you don't just randomly have the last name, the same last name. You're related. Do you want to admit that?
Yeah, I guess I'll admit, yes. I'll admit it. I'm not sure my dad likes to admit it.
Well, when I started back in the 70s, I brought Dan to St. Luke's and MISTI, and he was 3 years old, and we rounded on patients together. And I advised him, oncology is a very difficult, emotional field, often a sad field. Consider dermatology or perhaps ophthalmology, but
he didn't listen. Typical kid, right?
Correct.
So here you are as the director, the medical director of St. Luke's Cancer Institute. So why the name change?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's been sort of a soul searching and a bit of a heart wrenching and somewhat business oriented decision, in the sense that MISTI has been around for 50 years. My dad is sitting next to me; he's been there at the beginning. But you know, a couple of reasons. One is that the name MISTI, while it means so much to us who work there, the patients who've come through us, and our staff, it really actually, when you actually do the data research, isn't as recognizable as we like to believe. And it was sort of 50-50 whether people associated it with St. Luke's versus St. Al's. Also, it doesn't have the name cancer in it. And it just turns out in the internet age, it's really affected us. And for patients, you know, why would anyone really want, you know, really to think about cancer on an average time? And when people search for us and they find MISTI, you know, sometimes scroll right over us or have trouble finding us. And so there's just a bit of a lack of clarity with that we wanted to say, hey, we are a cancer institute.
Yeah, just an anecdote in that regard. I flew in from California a few weeks ago and had to get back to my office. So I took a taxi, and the cab driver said, "Where to, sir?" And I said, "MISTI." And he said,
"Where is that?
What is MISTI?" And, of course, I then said, "St. Luke's."
And then he
knew. MISTI is St. Luke's, and I like to view it also from the other side, that St. Luke's is MISTI. Right from the very get-go, right from the beginning, when MISTI started, we had two physicians. One was a radiation doctor, Al Popma. The other was an internist, Maurice Burkholder, who started MISTI. But we also had great administrative support with administrators like Ed Gilbertson, especially Ed Dahlberg. And they worked with us, and I've been there a long time and have known them. So MISTI has never been by itself. We've had St. Luke's as a constant partner and a collaboration. So we have been St. Luke's.
And I want to talk about the 50 years, in the sense that when we go back 50 years ago to what cancer treatment looked like to where it is today, what do you think has been the most drastic changes that have happened?
Well, I think there's been many of them, Gemma. I mean, it's interesting. I know, actually, another anecdote is that in my office is sort of, you know, even though my dad's sitting next, right next to me, I have his old black medicine bag, a leather bag with his name stenciled on it. And you can still see that, you know, the number of drugs we had to treat cancer back in the 70s, you could really put on two hands. So one is just the breadth of treatment that's out there. But I'd say probably most significantly, and see what my dad says, is immunotherapy. The fact that we're now able to use drugs that are not as toxic, that can actually harness the own body's immune system to attack cancer, I think is one of the most amazing advances we've seen.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I take a longer view. Surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, these are still the major modalities we use for cancer patients. There's a minority of patients who either have an activating mutation or a target, something we can target, that receive targeted treatment. And then there's another 15-20% of patients that show great benefit from immunotherapy. So that still leaves 70% of patients who have nothing more than what we used when I started: chemotherapy, surgery, radiation.
When St. Luke's started the cancer institute known as MISTI 50 years ago, did you think, Dr. Zuckerman, that you would see the progression in cancer treatment? And in the sense of, you know, people are living longer. You know, there are I mean, even the interventions of getting screened and all of that, where we've come in 50 years.
It's true. You know, I never in my wildest dreams thought we would treat lung cancer with immunotherapy. So it's been a tremendous advance. But again, it's confined to about 15-20% of those patients whose tumors show sensitivity to, for example, immunotherapy, or in those patients who have a target and we can use targeted therapy. People still die of advanced cancer. And these modalities, although they prolong life, with advanced cancer, they're not curative. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more work to be done. I like to, when I speak to patients, I talk about daily exercise. I talk about preventing obesity, lifestyle factors. Prevention is still the very best medicine. And the other side of these advanced treatments is the tremendous cost. They are prohibitively expensive. I not uncommonly write prescriptions for 30 tablets, 1 month of pills, and the cost is $20,000. So that's not sustainable for people, for society, for the healthcare system. And that's being discussed now on a national level.
Yeah, I think the point of us being able to treat advanced cancers, there's been some amazing science, but it proves the point that I think early detection, screening, lifestyle behaviors are really key if we're really going to move the ball forward. Is that so? Hopefully, people are not presenting to us, to me and my dad and my colleagues, with advanced stage cancer.
And so, let's talk about the next 50 years. And first off, but let's start with today and what is going on today in the field of cancer treatment, because it seems to me, as we just spoke about, one of the major breakthroughs was early prevention and screening.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, we're doing a lot of research along with people across the country doing, you know, for example, we have a trial that's actually looking at two different types of mammography screening to see what is the most effective and accurate way to screen women for breast cancer. We'll soon have a trial looking at why colon cancer is happening more and more
and younger.
Right. You'd had me on the show earlier, Gemma, talking about that. And I think, you know, it's a little bit, you know, pie in the sky sci-fi, but I hope, you know, within our career, you know, within the next 5 years, actually begin to develop blood tests. I mean, that's really, in fact, there's a company called Grail, as in the Holy Grail, that's trying to develop blood tests so that maybe someday you're really not even seeing someone like me or my dad. You're going into your primary care provider's office once a year and they're checking your blood to see, do you have cancer? Which would be, I mean, an amazing paradigm shift.
Because we've talked about that on the program before, and especially, I believe, when you came in to talk about colon cancer, is that what you're finding is that the likelihood is that someone was probably living with this for a good decade before it's ever discovered.
Absolutely. And I think that's hard for people to, you know, accept and understand when they first get diagnosed that really that this thing we call cancer was, you know, harbored in their body for, years or even a decade or more prior to that.
And so moving forward with St. Luke's Cancer Institute, what are you doing? What is changing? You talked about trials, because this used to not happen in Idaho. Where someone could be in a trial in their home state.
Right. No, that's right. And I mean, we're always trying to expand our portfolio of clinical trials. I think we've also some newer things is that we've brought allogeneic stem cell transplant to St. Luke's. So we're the only transplant center in the entire state. We'll be bringing something called CAR T cells, which are actually genetically modified T cells, a form of immunotherapy. We also pay attention to things like, palliative care and early prevention. And so it's really expanding that. And I think also the thing that our center, that St. Luke's Cancer Institute, will be able to bring is a degree of subspecialization that, you know, in probably our earlier 50 years we didn't have. And that's really something that we'll have a lot more moving forward.
You know, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't give a little historical background to MISTI.
Mm-hmm.
So when MISTI opened its doors, there was no cancer care in this part of the United States.
Hence the Mountain States.
That's probably what led to that name. So myself and my partner, Tom Beck, we would fly once a week to Lewiston and establish a cancer clinic there. We did that for 7 years. They now have a cancer clinic. We did that in Twin Falls. We did that in Ontario. We opened facilities in Meridian, in Nampa, Wood River. We did Twin Falls for 20 years. They have. So all these sites I've mentioned have cancer care due to the efforts of MISTI's medical oncologists. And furthermore, most people, even Dan may not know this, the Veterans Hospital in Boise has cancer care now because of the efforts of MISTI medical oncologists. We provided that cancer care, and there was no one else back then available to do it. No one was trained.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this, the name change of MISTI to St. Luke's Cancer Institute. And we should mention that St. Luke's is a sponsor of Idaho Matters. Thank you both for coming in today, Dr. Norman Zuckerman and Dr. Dan Zuckerman with St. Luke's. And
thanks,
I want to
Gemma.
Thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters. It is Friday. I hope you have a great start to your weekend. Our producers, Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. I'm running out of time, really. Have a great weekend. This is Gemma Gaudette. You've been listening to Idaho Matters.